Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, good morning.
Good morning, listeners.
Tobias and Sarah and Jess and Anita, Friday show.
We're here.
We're going to continue talking about spiritual warfare for the family, right, Anita?
We're going to continue. This is the second part of the 20 ways of spiritual protection. And last week we covered Friday the 13th meant. And also on this article, we covered how to stay in the state of grace, custody of the senses, and custody of the mind. So now we will continue on speech.
This is very important for spiritual warfare as Catholics and stuff. Our mouth gets us in trouble a lot, and I know it. I'm the first one to tell you right here, guilty. My mouth gets me in trouble. That's why we have confession. That's what we have, the act of contrition.
Thank you, Jesus, for confession.
Yeah. You always hear the guys from Liber, the instructors from Liber Christo, they always say, there's a statement where they say, the demon is attracted to the mouth that blesses and curses. Notice that. The demon is attracted to the mouth that blesses and curses. And so we have to resist the temptation to curse and to get into foul language. So that's the first point we want to talk about today, Anita, is the issue of speech.
Right.
What would you say about that?
Okay. The article says, no foul language should come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for needed edification, that it may impart grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4:29.
What does this say? Now read Ephesians 4:29. What does that
say? It says, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear.
One of the things that we shouldn't be doing, and again, I'm not telling you that I'm perfect. So I'm just a sinner like you trying to get to heaven. I know what's right. I'm just trying to live it out. We shouldn't be cursing anybody or anything, because when you curse, the effects of the curse come back at you if you're not in a, obviously when you're cursing, you're not in a state of grace. So those effects come back to you.
Yes. I want to mention something. I was listening to Taylor Marshall yesterday, and he had a show on, there was a bishop that spoke bad about him. Or said something to him, and on his show he said, you know what, I'm going to bless Bishop XXX, and then he continued on and why he disagreed with him. So that was something we need to do more, I think. See, do you want to actually bless people instead of saying, why wish him ill?
The Bible actually says, bless your enemies.
Bless your enemies. So
Taylor just followed what the Bible says.
Yep. So I was impressed with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime you use vulgarities or profanities, you open up the air to diabolical influence, and it's right in Scripture. It's called the demons of the air. In other words, demons can influence the air. If you didn't know, this is how wizards and Satanists and witches and shamans, this is the way they conjure up demons. They do it through curses. They do it through spells. They do it through hexes, which contain vulgarities and profanities and evil designs for other people. So this prayer calls the angels, and curses and vulgarities, it calls the diabolical. And what does Father Fortea say about this?
Yeah, Father Antonio Fortea, he's an exorcist from Spain. He said, sacred scripture, when speaking of demons, always locates them in one or two places. In hell, that is to say, in that which is below, or in the air. To say that they are in the air is a way of saying that they are everywhere, that they move about with complete freedom. St. Paul repeats this again when he calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. So there you go. He says, there's two places. They're in hell or in the air. So where's the air? Here on earth. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And Ephesians. Oh, yeah, Ephesians 2.
Yeah, that's Ephesians 2:12 that you just basically read.
Right.
And our Lord Jesus Christ tells us about the danger of what comes out of your mouth. He says in Matthew 12:36, he says this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So there's a lot of scripture that warns us about what comes out of our mouth. We really have to temper our mouth.
And I know on you and Dan on your other shows, it says sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's the total opposite. Words do injure. They injure.
Oh, so, yeah. You'll heal from a bruise from getting punched in the jaw. You're going to heal. But it's cutting when somebody insults you. And it's a deep, it's cutting.
Yep, right. And it stays there.
That's right.
Right. Okay, so in Proverbs 18, verse 4 to 7, it says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a gushing stream. It is not good to be partial to a wicked man or to deprive a righteous man of justice. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth invites a flogging. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to himself.
Wow.
Proverbs, that's an awesome book of wisdom. Love that book.
Proverbs 18:21. Yes. Here's another one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Wow.
And those who love it will eat its fruits. Close quote.
If you think your tongue doesn't have power, there it is. Wow. It's in scripture. The power of the tongue. Proverbs 21:23. He who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Mm. So that's telling you to
temper yourself.
Yeah, temper.
Temper and prudence, really.
Temperance, absolutely.
Yeah, somebody sent me an email the other day, and they said they just like had a meltdown on their spouse. And I just told them, I said, you know what? Sometimes some things are better kept in the vault. Okay, just keep those thoughts there and just don't let them out. Just keep them in the vault, especially if you're going to start cussing and saying profanities and insulting people. Just keep it in the vault. Okay, that's called prudence.
Right.
Here's one in James chapter 3. This is a powerful one about the power of the tongue, verses 6 to 10. It says, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell.
Wow.
For every kind of beast and of bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. This is where the instructions from Liber Christus say that the devil likes the tongue.
The duplicity.
That blesses and curses. That duplicity.
That's duplicity.
Yeah. Wow.
And we say one thing and we
God help
do
us.
Another and say another.
Lord have mercy on all of us.
Yes, we got to work on that.
Yes.
And that's, we're going to be working on that till we die. But, every day you want to make it better and better, obviously.
Yeah, we're saints.
Improve on that.
We're saints under construction. I'm going to repeat it again. We are saints under construction.
Imperfect.
Yeah, well, God's not done with us yet. Mm-mm. But I'll tell you where God started making us saints. It was at baptism. That's the theology. Yeah. That's where you were set apart for God to become
a
saint.
That's beautiful.
And so it's just a process at this point.
Absolutely.
Two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back.
And that's when we go to confession, right?
Yeah.
Right, BMP listeners?
And active contritions too, for venial sins.
Yep, examination conscience before you go to bed. That's important.
Point number five.
Okay, root out your defects. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29.
In that scripture verse, basically our Lord Jesus Christ is advocating for his disciples to ruthlessly root out our sinful activities, attachments, and vices. Defect is another word for vice. You'll hear that in theology, defect or vice.
And what's the opposite of vice?
Virtue.
Remember that.
And our Lord isn't actually literally saying to rip off your eyes, because if that was literal, all of us would have to rip off
blind.
Our eyes. All
everybody.
Of us. Everybody. All the popes, everybody would be blind.
Early childhood, as a matter of fact.
This is called hyperbole.
Yeah.
Okay, it's called Hebraic hyperbole. We use it in English, too. We say, that guy's as tall as a ladder, that guy's as big as a house. It's just a way of making a very strong point, but it's a serious point.
Yes.
So removing our defects is important for both our spiritual protection and formation. And St. John of the Cross, he said that vice is always rooted in an attachment to something. And he also says that you can have attachments to absolutely nothing created but to God alone. So that's the point.
Yes.
We want to get to where we're just attached to God alone and not to anything of this world. We want to self-detach from this world and attach to God.
Right. So here we go. Father Garrigou LaGrange wrote many books. One just came back into print by TAM Publishers, which is called The Three Ages of the Interior Life. He writes that conversion is an ongoing process. We must experience the power of God more than just once. The Lord must invade our world. This phenomenon must be experienced as an adult. The three stages of the interior life are, number one, the purgative stage, where we recognize that we are sinners and we are purged from the love of sin, a time of cleansing and purification. The second one is illuminative, where we are enlightened or illumined by the truth of God in Christ. The mind becomes more enlightened about spiritual things. Oh, here comes Our Lady.
We'll continue with this, the three stages of the interior life. This is
La
important.
Because, here.
Yeah, because this is the process of interior conversion. And here she is, our Blessed Mother, the All-Holy One.
Yep.
Pray for us.
With our purgation.
Ora pro nobis. Pray for our country.
Love you, Mary.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Pray for us. We're back.
Ora por nobis.
We want to just share a prayer that Father Ripperger says that we should be praying for our country up until these sham elections, up until justice prevails. And the prayers on my yesterday's blog, right, Anita?
Right. I put on yesterday's blog, posted.
But we'll pray together right now. It's on, just go to my blog from yesterday, November 19th. And this is the actual prayer that Father Ripperger said we should use. I know there's another one floating around. It's a shorter prayer called Prayer of Command. That's not the one. He said it. He said that's a good prayer, but that's not the one.
Yeah, we did post that one prior to this one. So just to let you know, this is the one you want to pray.
Yeah, this is the one he says that he's recommending.
That he recommends that
the other
pray.
One's good as well, but this one's better. So we'll pray it underneath it together in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I, Jess Romero, a faithless sinner, renew and ratify today in thy hands the vows of my baptism. I renounce forever Satan, his pomps and works, and I give myself entirely to Jesus Christ, the incarnate wisdom, to carry my cross after him all the days of all my life, and to be more faithful to him than I have ever been before. In the presence of all the heavenly court, I choose thee, O Mary, this day for my mother and mistress, knowing that I have received rights over all my exterior goods by the promulgation of the natural law, by the divine author, I deliver and consecrate to thee as thy slave all of my exterior goods, including our presidential election, our country, and President Trump. I relinquish into thy hands, my heavenly mother, all rights over my exterior goods, including my health, finances, relationships, possessions, property, my job, and my earthly success. And I retain for myself no right of disposing the goods that come to me, but leave to thee entire and full right of disposing of all that belongs to me, without exception, according to thy pleasure.
Good pleasure.
For the greater glory of God in time and in eternity, as I now interiorly relinquish what belongs to me exteriorly into thy hands, I entrust to thee the protection of those exterior goods against the evil one, so that, knowing that they now belong to thee, he cannot touch them. Receive, O good and pious Virgin, this little offering of what little is, in honor of and in union with that subjection with the eternal wisdom deigned to have to thy maternity, in homage to the power which both of you have over this poor sinner, and in thanksgiving for the privileges with which the Holy Trinity has favored thee, trusting in the providential care of God, the Father, and thy maternal care, I have full confidence that thou wilt take care of me as to the necessities of this life, and will not leave me forsaken. God the Father, increase my trust in thy Son's mother, Our Lady of Fair Love. Give me perfect confidence in the providence of thy Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer.
And the reason Father Ripperger says this is a powerful prayer, because what we're doing is we're consecrating our country and our President Trump to the Blessed Virgin Mary to prevent demonic oppression during this post-election period. And again, Father Ripperger says is that anything that's consecrated to Mary, the devil can't touch. And so let's consecrate President Trump and our country to Mary every single day.
And I will post that prayer again today. I'm going to post it probably every day.
All week, maybe.
All week until this is all over.
Yeah.
Because we need to be praying this every day. And then plus, Jesse and I, you guys can all do this too. Every hour on the hour, we say one Our Father, Hail Mary,
and
then
Michael.
The St. Michael's prayer for the so justice and for the protection of President Trump and those that are trying to find out the truth in regards to the election.
Because we know that there's been deception and cheating and basically fraud.
And whether you're a Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. We need to have the integrity of the voting actually makes this country great.
That's what makes this country great, is that we have elections that are free, are supposed to be fair, and there's no, during the transition of power, there's no war, there's no civil war.
Right.
So let's just keep praying for this. Anita, you're talking about the three stages of the interior light, but you got kind of cut off, so
yes,
let's jump into it.
Yes, we did. So I'm just going to go ahead and
Who is Father Gary Goulagrange?
Okay, Father Gary Goulagrange was the professor of where Pope John Paul II got his PhD from.
So John Paul II was a student.
Right, and I've heard Patrick Madrid speak about him. So he's got some really, awesome writings. So those of you that want to get that book, is from Tan Publishers. It's called The Three Ages of the Interior Life. And he writes that conversion is an ongoing process, and we must experience the power of God more than just once. The Lord must invade our world. This phenomenon must be experienced as an adult. The three stages of the interior life are, number one, the purgative stage, where we recognize that we are sinners and we are purged from the love of sin, a time of cleansing and purification. The second is the illuminative stage, where we are enlightened or illumined about the truth of God in Christ. The mind becomes more enlightened about spiritual things and the practice of virtue. Okay. The next one is number three.
The unitive,
where our will is so united to God's will that you want what God wants no matter what suffering this may entail. A union with God by love and the actual experience and exercise of that love. Very few people ever reach the stage of maturity where they can truly say, for me to live is Christ. And that's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Or even on John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase and I must decrease.
I actually, in my opinion, St. John Paul II reached that unitive stage. I'll tell you why. He was for several years on a wheelchair and on a bed, dying of Parkinson's, all kinds of physical medical problems from being shot by a Muslim terrorist. And at that moment, can you imagine being the Pope? He can't do nothing but pray and groan and offer his sufferings to God.
Yeah.
And so I believe that, in other words, the unitive stage is when you say, the heck with everything here on planet Earth. I just want God. I want him and him alone. I don't care about even having the Vatican. I don't care about having this throne in the Basilica. I don't want any of this stuff. I don't want the tiara. I just want God. I believe John Paul II hit that stage.
I agree with
because
you.
Because of suffering, because of the suffering he went through.
Right. I agree with you. The suffering. I think all of us would rather. He was so blessed and God was so merciful. Although his body was breaking down through all the physical ailments that he was experiencing, but his mind was sharp as a tack. Well, isn't that beautiful? I would love that too. Mm-hmm. Keep my mind sane where I can still know that I can love and pray to you and worship you.
That's right.
And if you want to take my body, there you go. That's part of suffering.
Yeah.
And this redemptive suffering. How many souls did Saint JP2, released? Just imagine all the souls in purgatory. You know, he was
through his sufferings. Because the suffering is a powerful form of prayer.
Yeah, so everybody see that as beautiful. And then those people that you know that are suffering, whether they're cancer or some form of suffering, just know and just give them something positive. Just say, know that you're doing a good work all through your suffering. You might not know it right now, but what you're doing is just lift it up to the Lord and let him know that, you know, here, I give the suffering for you for whatever you need it for in the kingdom of heaven. And you're going to know through your suffering, how you help the kingdom of heaven. And in actuality, you're helping yourself. Remember, it's reciprocal.
Suffering is mentioned. St. Paul mentions it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. And what happens is uniting your sufferings to our Lord Jesus Christ, you become a channel of grace or a conduit of grace for other people in the body of Christ, your spouse, your children, your family, your friends. Here's the word. You become a channel of grace. That's the way St. Ignatius of Loyola described it. Yeah. Or a conduit of grace. Think about being like a pipe and running water is coming through. You're the pipe and God's the running water. That's grace going to other people through your suffering. And God is touching other people with that water called grace. Anita, we're still talking about rooting out our defects here.
Yeah, you know, I like the going back to the illuminative stage. That's when we first had our conversion. We realized that we were sinners and, wow, I'm a sinner and I need to change things. And that's what that was, the purgative stage. We recognize that we are sinners and we are purged from the love of sin and the time cleansing. In other words, change your life. If you're a drunkard or a womanizer or whatever it is that you are, and you recognize that that's your purgative stage. That's the stage that you're...
Thank God that you recognize it.
Yeah, you recognize
it. And now you're saying, I'm going to do something about it.
We went through that. And now...
And the Christian life, most of us, we're still going right now from... we go jumping back and forth from the purgative to the illuminative.
Yep, right.
The whole life. Yeah, we're like, oh, there's another sin. There's another defect. Shoot. Oh! And then God illuminates you about this other defect, this other vice that you're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start growing in holiness, illuminative, God revealing more. Then, oh, you go back to the purgative. Oh, I got this other defect.
Yeah, and that's where the sacraments come to play. you know, sacrament confession and receiving the Eucharist and just really examining your conscience, you realize that.
It's to push you towards a life of holiness so you can little by little get rid of those defects. Mm-hmm. And speaking about defects, let me give you an analogy of the dog in a rag.
Yeah. The attachment to the world.
Yes.
It's just such a great example.
Yeah, that's what a vice or a defect is the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like car and auto. Vice and defect, same thing. And the way it works is if you shake a rag, a dog's going to clamp down on it. Why? There's an attachment. Well, that's what demons do. Demons use our attachments, that rag, to get us to do what they want us to do. Then we don't want to let it go. And ascending the levels of prayer as a Catholic and obtaining a greater degree of perfection will help you overcome any defects. That's why as a Catholic, you should practice vocal prayer, meditative prayer, and then quiet prayer called mm-hmm. contemplative prayer. Because those type of prayer, using all the weapons of the Catholic Church, helps you overcome your defects or your vices. And you get greater protection, and you also get greater grace for it. And this is something very important in Liber Christi. The instructors teach that in order for us to get rid of defects and vices, we have to remove impediments. The impediments in our life. Impediments, it means we have to abandon the life of mortal sin and pursue a life of holiness. We even have to fight against the inclinations of venial sin as well. And we got to, like Juanita just said, we have to replace vice with virtue.
Yeah, that's and that's a struggle every day. And just, you're already, by removing your impediments, you're already ahead of the game. Because that's going to help. In other words, because you want to reach the state. If you have impediments, you're not in a state of grace, obviously. That could, in some instances, I'm not saying in all instances, but in some instances, you're...
Yeah,
you're,
if the sin's mortal, right?
Yeah, mortal. If the sin's mortal. So
you could be in venial sin and be in a state of grace, but we still have to fight against venial sin.
Absolutely.
Don't just throw the white flag and say, oh, it's a venial sin.
Right, right.
Well, let's move on to prayer.
Okay, actually, prayer was my favorite one. Pray without ceasing. Okay, that's in, you can find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And, you know, this is an article that was written by the Catholic Ace, obviously, and they, you know, were quoting a lot of Father Ripperger's quotes here. And he said, if you don't pray, you're not going to be protected. Oh, here comes Our Lady.
Here she comes.
Oh, we're going to have to continue this in our next segment.
Ora pro nobis. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. You're listening to Jesus 911, Jess and Anita, Tobias and Sarah, Friday show. We're talking about how to protect your family and your marriage. God bless you. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Educational, spiritual warfare. That's what we provide here on Jesus 911. Spiritual warfare for the common man. This is just basic Catholic spiritual warfare, and prayer is part of it. If you're not praying, you have no offensive weapon, and you have no defensive weapon as well.
Right.
And as Father Ripperger was saying, Anita, about praying?
Yeah, Father Ripperger, he said, if you don't pray, you're not going to be protected. Lady have an obligation to pray to God at least 15 minutes a day. If you're just simply faithful to grace, that fidelity to grace is one of the principal ways to protect you against the demons. And, you know, I want to quote in Jesse's book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, on page 27. St. Teresa of Avila says just that. She says, he who practices mental prayer has traveled half the journey. However, he who does not practice at least 15 minutes of mental prayer a day is an animal.
That's a doctor of the church. She's a doctor of the church on prayer, by the way. So if you don't you have a beef with me, you got a beef with her. She's one of the 36 doctors of the church. Also, St. Bede, he says, those who refuse to be humble cannot be saved. St. Alphonsus of Liguori says, those who pray will be saved. Those who do not pray will be damned. Most people have the vice of lack of prayer, especially men. I hate to say it, but it's true. So when they start praying, they go, oh, it hurts, it's painful, it's hard, it's difficult, and they feel dry. But it's just like anything. As you develop prayer as a habit, prayer becomes easier. You even draw delight from it. I know I do. I know my wife does. Mm-hmm. And St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, he says, prayer is nothing more than union with God. St. Clement of Alexandria in the 3rd century said prayer is conversation with God. And prayer itself, it's a form of mortification. Why? Because it's hard. It's hard. Yep. It's difficult. And Father Ripperger says prayer is a manly activity.
Yep.
And it helps explain why Christ did so much of it, because he was the ultimate man. Prayer is really important to your interior life, to spiritual warfare, because prayer mortifies the flesh. And man, remember, a lot of times, a lot of our sins come from our flesh, our disordered passions, and prayer mortifies it. It helps you snap your emotions back into place, and it takes custody of your intellect, so it helps you keep protected. And without protection, families are susceptible to diabolical influences.
And you could tell those that pray and those who don't pray. You just look at the way, what they say, the conversation.
Their conversations.
Their conversations.
Everything.
Really tell you about, you don't even have to know them very well, but once you start speaking to them and words come out of their mouth, you can determine if they have a prayer life. So that's something. And we, every day we wake up, we have to decide to pray to God. And that's our communion, God. That's our union with him, is through prayer, our communication.
That's right. There's four types of diabolical influences. You got infestation of houses, articles, or animals. You got oppression. Those are physical attacks from the diabolical. You got obsession. Those are mental attacks. And you got possession. That's the highest form of attack. It's very rare, but it does happen. It is found in the New Testament. The other ones are a lot more common: obsession, oppression, infestation, and temptation, which is the lowest form of attack of a demon. That's basically universal. They're doing that all day long. Let's talk about meditation, Anita.
Yeah, let's talk about meditation, and that's the second type of prayer in Jesse's book on Archbishop Sheen. He tells you what the three types of prayer are. You got your vocal prayer, meditative, and contemplative prayer. And he also makes it very easy to understand. Vocal prayer is like walking
to God. Yeah.
To God. And meditative prayer is like going on horseback to God. And contemplative is going on a jet to God.
All prayer gets you to God.
All
just
of them get
you faster.
Some get you faster. Yeah. So it's just a matter of habitual dedication to prayer. That's what that is. Okay, so here we go. Meditation. Blessed. You can find this on Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. It says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the company of scoffers. Rather, the law of the Lord is his joy, and on his law he meditates day and night. Wow, how beautiful is that? That's in the first chapter of the book of Psalms.
That reminds me of what Father Gabriel Amorth, rest in peace, he would say this. He would say, the fastest way to become diabolically afflicted is by hanging around evil people and going to evil places. That's Psalm 1, verse 1. That's what Father Amorth used to say all the time as a priest. Don't hang around with wicked people. Don't go to evil places. And there's evil places. You know there is. Yeah. Let's not act like there's not. Yeah. Gentlemen's clubs. There's no gentlemen there. Porn shops. These marijuana outlets. There's evil places.
Yeah, anywhere that's a near occasion of sin.
Abortion clinics.
An evil place.
Okay. Most bars are just, come on. They're evil places. You know, unless you're going to go with your wife to have you a glass of wine in the evening and stuff. But if you're going to just go and start carousing and stuff, there's demons all over you. Let me tell you.
You let your inhibitions down.
Yeah. So with meditation, you're not speaking. There's no vocalization. Meditation or mental prayer is a lifting of the mind and heart to God. Meditation is very important. Meditation can literally break diabolical obsession. And demons use your imagination to create a diabolical obsession. In fact, Father Ripperger says he doesn't know anybody who's been possessed who meditates 15 minutes a day on the rosary or any other type of meditation. He says not one person he knows has been possessed.
Yeah, and with meditation, you're using your imagination to pray, which is hard at the beginning. As you meditate, what happens is that you're filling your mind with God and the things of God, such as a scripture verse. What does that mean about a demon? He's not going to want to get involved with your imagination. That's exactly what's going to happen. And if he is, he's going to want to get out. He wants to get out of you. Get me out of here. I can't stand being around holy thoughts.
Yeah, there you go.
Imagination.
You've got holy things in your mind.
Right. I had you're thinking about the agony in the garden, the scourging of the pillar, or the annunciation, things of God, the mysteries of God. So demons don't want to deal face to face with the things that are holy. So that's why they want stage left. I'm out of here.
Exactly. Again, if you meditate regularly every day, St. Louis de Montfort says this, St. Teresa of Avila, Father Ripperger, 15 minutes a day. And by the way, voila, the rosary's 15 minutes. Wow, what a coincidence, okay?
Yeah.
If you meditate regularly every day, 15 minutes a day, meditation is one of the principal ways you can protect yourself and your family from diabolical influences, especially if you're the father, because remember, grace flows from the father, and also the evil one also uses the father as a point of entry. And Saint Isaac of Syria, that's in my book also, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle. I got this quote. Saint Isaac of Syria says that that meditative prayer wounds, injures, and torments demons. Saint Isaac of Syria, he was a desert father. He lived in 480. He lived in the 5th century. He wrote this in 488 AD. So prayer has an offensive nature to it. Offensive as an offensive weapon.
There you go. We're in spiritual warfare. We're ready for battle. When we're praying, we are in the battle. And we're just throwing grenades bombs in the air with prayer.
Absolutely. So, and if you're not praying, you're not in the battle.
You're not in the fight.
You're just sitting there
in the foxhole.
Yeah, you're just sitting there watching and shaking like a leaf, and you're afraid.
Yep.
If you're praying, you're projecting offensive weapons into the cosmos, and you're doing what's called airstrikes, because that's where demons are. They're in.
Yep.
They're either in hell, as Father Fortea says, or in the cosmos. They're in the air, okay, in the heavenly places. Your prayers project to the air, And it's an offensive weapon. It's an airstrike. And so as Catholic, you want to just unload prayer every single day. Unload. Yep. This is a battle.
Every day. And it's perseverance and constancy. Remember, we've told you, we've repeated this word before, constantly.
Which means constancy. Faithfulness.
Faithfulness, and demons don't like that.
Every day, for the rest of your life.
This is a marathon.
Got to have that routine of prayer. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you, the other side, they're on a liturgical cycle as well.
Yep.
The witches and Satanists, they're like doing curses and spells and hexes. They have a set time where they're doing this. They're also projecting curses and spells into the air, into the cosmos.
Especially now with what's going on in our country. I mean, it's heightened.
Yeah, we need all hands on deck right now.
Heightened that I've never seen before.
Absolutely.
All you VMP listeners, pray.
So let's move on to devotions
now. Okay, devotions. Oh,
1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself for devotion. 1 Timothy 4:7. Devotions different to different saints are very important. If you have a particular defect or vice, start working on the virtue opposite of that and ask the saint who mastered that virtue, ask for their intercession.
Yeah, you know, I just want to talk about devotions. Every day the church used to honor a certain devotion, and today is the Passion of Christ. Saturday is honoring Mary. Sunday is the Resurrection of Christ. Monday, the Holy Souls in Purgatory. Tuesday is the Holy Angels. Wednesday is Saint Joseph. Thursday is the Eucharist. So every day there's the church had set devotions in honor. And that's something you might want to include in your daily devotion, like I do at Mass. I said, in the honor of today's the Passion of Christ. Today is Friday, and that's the devotion. But devotions are so important to keep you on track.
That's right.
It keeps you on track and keeps your prayer life crisp.
And for example, chastity. If you have a chastity issue, and that's an area where a lot of the demons attack people, especially young people, and especially men, even men of all ages, okay? So a devotion to St. Mary Magdalene or St. Maria Goretti, all virgin saints, or St. Catherine of Siena or St. Teresa of Avila or St. Joseph, they develop these virtues and perfected them, and they'll actually protect you also in relationship to the demons who combat, and they'll help combat this for you through their prayers.
Yeah.
And Father Ripperger also recommends a devotion to St. Padre Pio for spiritual protection. Father says that in 70% of his sessions, St. Padre Pio will show up and successfully combat the demons in the spiritual arena. And St. Padre Pio, he's quick to do it.
Wow, here comes Our Lady again.
Here she comes.
Oh, wow, the segment went quickly.
And that's why the demons are afraid of Padre Pio, because he loved Our Lady and Our Lady loved him. That's what makes Padre Pio powerful in sessions of exorcism.
Yes.
We'll be back.
Pray for us, Padre Pio.
Amen.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Pray for us, Mother Mary.
Patroness of the Americas, we're back. Jesus 911, spiritual weapons and tactics. This is briefing. This is roll call. Tobias and Sarah, Jess and Anita, we're talking about how to protect your family, how to protect your marriage. And we just finished up talking about devotions. And the only thing I want to say about devotions is this, is that there's a lot of devotional prayers that contain litanies. Litanies are very powerful. They use them in sessions of exorcism as part of the rite. Litanies are very powerful to torment demons because they're sustained prayers calling upon what I would call the Hall of Famers in heaven, and praying the litanies, it brings the whole weight of the church militant and the church triumphant upon the diabolical. So, point number nine, how do we defend our family?
Okay, follow the Roman Catholic Church. And how do we do it? Well, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you reach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And that's, you can find that in Colossians 3:16. And there are innumerable ways we can live out the Roman Catholic faith in accordance with one's calling in life. Incorporating any of these that we're going to give you, it's a listed, incorporate any of these in your life and the lives of your family should help everyone to stay protected from diabolical influence. For example,
going to Mass every Sunday.
Yep. Okay. Daily scripture readings.
Hey, some of you may want to try the traditional Latin Mass if you have one in your area, or my wife's favorite.
Like daily Mass. I go to daily Mass.
Frequenting the sacraments.
Confession, receiving Holy Communion.
Wearing sacramentals around your body, having sacramentals around your house.
The miraculous medal, the scapular, praying the Holy Rosary.
Especially.
That should be daily.
How about the Angelus? In monasteries, they pray at 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. And by the way, for people that are diabolically afflicted, exorcists will put them on a 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. prayer of the Angelus, along with other prayers. So that's part of the healing, is immersing themselves in the Angelus, 6, 12, and 6.
And you can also do it, too. I do it. I set my phone to 6, 12, and 6, and I pray the Angelus because, you know, that's when the...
And she's not possessed, by the way.
That's when the prayers of the church are so powerful because everybody's doing it in unison.
And and Jesus says that where two or three are gathered in my name.
We're shooting bullets and bombs in the air.
against the demons that are in the air. That's exactly where they're at. Another weapon that we could be using as Catholics, as we talk about point number nine, follow the Roman Catholic faith, is go to Eucharistic adoration.
Yeah, if you have an adoration chapel, go take advantage of that.
Sign up.
Yeah, sign up.
Weekly adorer.
If they have exposition once a week, be there. Try to make it to be there. If not, go in front of our Lord in the tabernacle and just sit there and do your adoration there. You could also do that.
Here's another weapon that we have, is the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. Try to pray that every single day. Around 3 o'clock would be great.
Right. 3 o'clock. Penance. Going to confession.
Remember,
is
we've talked before that confession is more powerful than a solemn exorcism.
One of the sacraments of the church.
Every single exorcist that teaches says that the sacrament of confession is more powerful than the solemn rite of exorcism. That's basic Catholic teaching.
Yep. And the Stations of the Cross, do that on Fridays. If not, you can do that any time of the week.
On your phone.
So many graces for doing the Stations of Cross, because you're meditating on the Passion of Christ, of what occurred over 2,000 years ago.
Another thing to do as a Catholic, as a litanies and novenas, include those in your prayer life. Also, evangelize.
Yeah.
Share your faith with people. Don't be ashamed. Tell them, this is why I believe in Jesus, and this is why I believe in the Catholic
right.
Church.
You go to the store, just say, God bless you. And you know what? You'll be surprised. We went to dinner. We were in Texas, and we have some friends out there, and we have meals with them because they kind of come with us on our events. But they just taught me something that's just so beautiful. We were at our table, and the waitress came, and she asked if we wanted to drink. And after, she goes, you know what? We're going to pray. What would you like us to pray for you for?
Yeah, and, our friend told the waitress that.
And I thought, wow, that is beautiful.
Talk about evangelization.
Yeah, so that's a way you can evangelize also.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, Lexia Divina, reading your Bible every day. Right. You know, that's another thing that we should be doing as Catholics, reading the daily Mass readings. That takes 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Yeah, and that's what I tell my RCAA students. The three most important things for you today to do is daily prayer, scripture reading. The church already has all the scripture readings assigned for the day, and examination of conscience.
That's right.
If you could do those three things every day, you are on your way to develop a really very holy a prayer life.
Also, include the Auxilium Christianorum prayers into your prayer life. How about going to spiritual retreats? Check your parish. Check your diocese. Check the internet. See for retreats out in your
conferences.
Area. Yes. Practice Advent. Practice what the church teaches in Advent. Anticipate the coming of Christ.
Right.
Lent. Get into Lent. Practice what the church teaches in Lent. Have you done the First Friday devotions and went to Mass in a state of grace and received communion? Try that. How about the first 5 Saturdays? Do you pray grace before meals? Another big one, here's where the devil attacks us. Chastity. Okay? Let's be chaste. Even within marriage, there are things that are happening within marriage that should not be happening. I know it because I get phone calls from males and females. Be pure in your marriage, even in your marital love. Don't be like a pagan. Don't imitate the pagans. And practice modesty also, especially men and women, especially you guys that have been studs. Don't be be modest even in the way you dress. And same with women. A lot of you are blessed with, you're young and beautiful. Don't tempt people. You're going to pay for it. God is going to ask you to render an account. Don't tempt people.
Right.
What other things can they do underneath that?
They can do catechesis of the children. Even if your children are adults, you have more time on earth. Okay?
And they're more open too sometimes.
And
now.
They, teach them, hey guys, we're going to do this. And, and that's because you're the primary educators. What about corporal works of mercy? We can do those. Spiritual works of mercy and daily study of sacred scripture. And not just reading scripture, but reading, the exegesis on the daily scripture. Study and imitation of the saints. Veneration of the angels and saints.
Yeah, by praying to them.
Right.
Let's move on to point number 10, because the show's wrapping up here. As Catholics, one of the most powerful tools for spiritual warfare are the sacraments of the church. Period.
Yes.
End of discussion. This is why Protestants need the Catholic Church. And this is why all religions need the Catholic Church, because this is what they lack. And this is what I would call the spiritual Fort Knox of Catholicism, the sacraments.
Yeah.
The
three out of the seven are the ones we frequent always.
Yes. The Eucharist, Luke 22:19. Our Lord says that then he took the Bible. Then he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which it will be given for you. Do this in memory of me." Close quote. That's Luke 22:19.
Right.
Remember, demons can't stand it because the Eucharist is God. Did you catch that? The Eucharist also strengthens us and gives us an increase in grace. The Eucharist helps us.
Source and summit of our faith.
It fortifies us. It gives us more protection. Father Ripperger says, if you want to live a normal sacramental life, getting to Mass regularly, daily Mass, is very important for spiritual protection.
Yeah, especially those of you that are in ministry, and it's really important that you try to get to daily Mass. Okay, the next one's confession. If you're committing venial sins and you want to get to confession at least once a month, try to do it once a month. The church does teach that Holy Communion can wipe away venial sins, but Father Ripperger But per Father Ripker, you don't know the degree of devoutness if you have after having received communion. You don't have certitude, so that is why you have to keep confessing. So we have to keep going. Two important aspects of confession. Confession restores you to grace if you have committed mortal sin, the grace from God being your primary protection. Confession gives you the sacramental graces you need to stay out of sin. The sacrament of confession gives you the grace to avoid both mortal and venial sins of the future. If you are committing mortal sin, go to confession regularly to break it.
That's right. Confession is the sacrament of humility. The definition of humility is the willingness to lead a life in accordance with the truth by not judging yourself greater than you are. And when you go to confession, you have to own up to your own failings. Confessing our sins and failures to someone else, it humbles us. And living a life of humility is one of the most powerful things you can do to yourself to protect yourself. The more humble you are, the less demons can influence you. Father Ripperger says a demon admitted in an exorcism to him once that Our Lady's power is in her humility. Yes, the more humble you are, the more spiritually powerful you become. Anita, what are the benefits of living a life of humility?
Okay, what are the benefits? Here you go. Humility is strength. It is virtue. It gives you self-possession and self-control. And it gives you clarity of mind. Humility gives you a control over yourself that nothing else can do. And that's why the demons will avoid seeking out the humble. Demons recognize they are more likely to be defeated by someone who is humble. God is more likely to protect someone who is humble. And if you are really proud and arrogant, God will scourge you every now and then to get you humble, to bring you down. And that's in 1 Peter 5:5. This is why humility is so important. Confession is a sacrament of humility, bar none. There is a direct correlation with your humility and where you are at in your spiritual life. And per Father Ripperger, in some instances, regular confession is more important, powerful in liberating somebody than an actual solemn exorcism. Wow.
And also remember that confession restores grace, sanctifying grace. And sometimes people will have possession, but it's on a very low level, and they'll go to confession and confess a sin, and guess what? That removes a sin. And Saint Ignatius says once the sin is that the demons used to have influence over you is aired out, they lose their power over that. So once you're restored to grace, you are protected, and so getting absolution breaks their control over you to some degree, and in some cases, confession can break diabolical possession, even if it's on a low level. I've actually seen it. And this reminds me, Anita.
That's the mercy of God, you know, restoring our grace through confession. Yep.
St. Apollos, who was the sidekick of St. Paul, I just read in this week's The Magnificat, it said he was such a holy apostle in the New Testament. It says, one day when a possessed man was brought to Apollos, the devil immediately flew out of the possessed person, unable, he said, to bear the saint's great humility. Can you imagine?
Wow.
At the presence of this disciple, Saint Apollos, in the New Testament, a possessed person confronted the saint, and the demon saw his humility and left him. Wow.
Gosh, that's powerful.
That's something to strive for.
Yeah, we'll continue this, our third show.
Next Friday,
for 20 ways of spiritual protection. Yep.
For your marriage and your family, your children. Basic spiritual warfare.
Part three is coming up next
week. Basic SWAT training, spiritual weapons and tactics. Hey, up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. If you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button and hit the bell to be notified and share the show with others. And Anita, that's a wrap. We're 10-7.
Right.
We're out.
Have a beautiful, wonderful week and happy Thanksgiving to all of you and to yours.
Viva Cristo Rey.
Viva.